Today, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're willing, I say, I'll start with verse 8, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. What am I going to get when I get to heaven? You'll get the things you've done in this body. I will get the things I've done in my body. Where rewards are passed out, that's what you're going to get. Well, I'm just as saved as anybody is. Yeah, but you'll not be rewarded the same unless you get busy. Amen. The rewards are all different. Amen. Oh, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Are you satisfied with one today? Would you like a shack to live in today? I can tell you, when I was a freshman in high school, I was living in a one-room log cabin in the north corner of Arkansas. I was ashamed of it. I didn't even want my teacher to see where I lived. Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land? No, you don't want no cabin. You've been singing about mansions for ages. Well, bless your heart, we better start sending up some material. Amen. We're going to receive the things done in our body. Did you read it? Did you read it with me? That everyone may receive the things done in his body. That's what we're going to get for reward. Amen. According that he hath done. Can't make it much plainer than that, can you? Huh? Are you reading, thinking? Whether it be good or bad. Guy Walsh said there's going to be a lot of boo-hooing in the judgment. Well, amen. I can understand that if everybody goes to heaven and says they're going, there's going to be a lot of boo-hooing in the judgment. What do you think, Brother Collins, we'll be boo-hooing about in the judgment? What could have been? What we could have had? The reward that could have been ours, but we dissipated it in worldly pleasure. We dissipated it in our fun. We dissipated it, amen, in our indulgence, self-indulgence, flesh indulgence, amen. And now we're standing before the judgment saved. Oh, if you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be because you're saved. Barely maybe, but saved. Amen. Oh, praise God. Now, here we're getting down to my text, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The what? Oh, now, Brother Collins, don't tell me that God has terror for us, that he has, that he's a scary God provoking fear. I mean, the word terrorism strikes fear in the hearts of men today as terrorist acts are being done across the world. You ain't seen terror yet. You haven't even imagined terror yet. Amen. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I'm talking this morning about the forgotten message, the terror of the Lord. Call it The forgotten message. Are you sleeping, Billy? Have you got anybody to coach you in there? Amen. The forgotten message. Amen. That's what I'm preaching about today. Let me read you another scripture. Amen. In Revelations chapter 1. This is a good man, a holy man, and man, he hears something. Amen. I, John, am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit. Now listen, we call these guys holy men, and they were. None holier perhaps than John himself. Not only is he a holy apostle, but he's in the Spirit. He's got the power of God on him, Mike Allen. He's in the Spirit, Jerry Wayne. Amen. In the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He wasn't fishing on the Lord's Day. He is in the Spirit. He wasn't out on the golf course on the Lord's Day. He is in the Spirit. He wasn't out on a shopping spree or getting carried, pulling the loose ends together and doing the washing on the Lord's Day. He is in the Spirit. Amen. That's a good place to be on the Lord's Day. Amen. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Shook him up. Amen. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it to the seven churches were in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. But he looks different than he did when he walked this earth. John had rubbed elbows with him, slept with him, ate with him, leaned on his breast. But he looks different now. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You heard it, didn't you? Why does he have the keys of hell and death? He's the author of hell and death. He's the one that built that jailhouse. He's the one that built that execution chamber. He is the one that started death. He said in the dawn of creation, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. He's the one. Amen. That authored death. He's the one that built the eternal incarceration chamber of the lake of fire. He's the one that built the present hell. Who did he build it for? For the devil and his angels. Amen. I'm preaching on the forgotten message. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Amen. The forgotten message is forgotten because we've got a milquetoast gospel today preaching a God of love only. License plates, bumper stickers say, God loves you. Does he? I wonder about that. The same book of Revelation said in the second chapter, thou hast this, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Amen. Before Jacob and Esau was born, the Bible said in the New Testament, knowing good or evil, he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Amen. Does he? Amen. God has not obligated himself to love everything that comes along. Amen. There's a whole bunch of stuff God hates. And his terror is long-suffering. His terror is held back like holding the reins on wild horses. But some of these days, he's going to turn those horses loose. The first six seals of the book of Revelation, he turns those horses loose. Amen. The horse of war. The horse of famine. The horse of hell and death. There's two horses there. Amen. The language infers, amen, that death is waltzing through that pale horse and his rider, and hell is riding through right behind him. Amen. I'm talking about the forgotten motivation this morning. Amen. You see, people are not afraid of God anymore, or they do different. They're not thinking straight, or they'd do different. Their hearts are calloused and hard, or they would act differently. The forgotten motivation for preaching, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The forgotten motivation for witnessing. It's good if we can witness with fear and trembling. The forgotten motivation for reproving. Bible said reprove and rebuke. The forgotten motivation for rebuking. Amen. Is the terror of the Lord. The forgotten motivation for long suffering. Is the terror of the Lord. Amen. What has been forgotten? We have forgotten an aspect of God. A side of God goes unpreached today, and we have a milquetoast God declared by a milquetoast gospel that is obligated to love everything and everybody and take everybody to heaven regardless of what they do or how they live. Paul didn't infer that when he said, our God is a consuming fire. Did you read it in your New Testament? Our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. If you don't believe it, ask Paul. He saw him brighter than the sun which shone in its strength at noonday on that Demosine road. There on the road to Damascus, breathing out threatenings, cursing the church. Amen. Destroying the church of the living God. If it hadn't have been for a miracle later on in Damascus, Paul's eyes would have been seared over like something had scorched his face. And he'd have been blind the rest of his life. Paul knew the terror of the Lord. Paul saw him when he was on the wrong side. Later on in Arabia, 3 years, Jesus visited and ministered to him, taught him many things, amen, and he said he was seen last of all by me. He saw him when he was on the right side. Amen. Holy men, praise God. Ah, yes, way back yonder in the beginning, Cain stood alone at the tribunal of God, and the judge spoke after Cain had killed his brother. And after the judge spoke, thou shalt be a vagabond all the days of thy life, and drove him out from among men into the lonely, lonely, lonely land of Nod. Cain cried as the judge of that tribunal where he was the judge and the jury and the witness. Amen. Cain cried, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Amen. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Amen. In the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah was true to his ministry and his calling and very bold. Amen. He says, woe is this and woe is that and woe is something else. And he had a woe for every manner of sin and all manner of blasphemy and all manner of the wicked. He had a woe for them. Woe means pain, misery, and suffering. Amen. But in the 6th chapter, he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. As Isaiah stood trembling before the awe of the Almighty God, and his skirt of his robe filled the temple. Amen. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, among the people of unclean lips. He had to have help. He had to have an angel go to the altar and touch his lips with a coal from the altar. Amen. Before he could preach anymore. He was very bold before, but now he's trembling before God. Isaiah saw the Lord, and woe is me, he cried. Righteous prophets fell before him like dead men. Amen. John, in the book of Revelation that I read to you, fell before him, he said, as dead. He had to touch him. It knocked him out. The Lord had to touch him. He groaned and sat up. He was faint. Amen. The terror of the Lord was upon him. And a voice said, fear not. I'm the first and the last. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, we're going to have help in the judgment. We're going to have Him to touch us before we can stand before that tribunal. No judge nor tribunal in the land strikes such terror as that. I used to have a song when I started out for God. Everybody's worried about the atomic bomb. But nobody's worried about the day our Lord shall come when He hits great God Almighty, like an atom bomb. Amen. I'm talking about the unpreached message. Amen. Hebrews 6:8. Amen.
But he that beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. That's what's going to happen when he judges. Amen. Here he's judging apostates, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall again, to renew them again unto repentance. What an awful thing! What a horrible thought! Can't never be saved. It's too late. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. That's what we're doing today. We're drinking in revival. We're drinking in rain. Revival after revival. Rain after rain. Great service after great service, until we have taken them for granted. Amen. For the earth drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. And bring forth herbs, meat, that means food, by them whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. A note of hope here. He says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Praise God for better things. Better things of you and better things for you. Hey, children of God, aren't you glad you're on the right side of His terror? That His terror is fighting for you instead of against you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jacob saw the terrible Lord in Genesis 35. Amen. 35:5. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities around about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Amen. That's because Jacob got on the right side of God. Amen. Let us rise and go up to Bethel. I'll make an altar unto the Lord who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Vance Havner said, and he was a Baptist, said, if we had a revival like that today, amen, he said, it would take the national forest to bury all the earrings that folks wear at church. Amen. Whew, glory to God. Amen. It'd take an awful big backhoe to dig a hole for him too. Amen. But Jacob got on the right side of God. Amen. And when he got on the right side of God, he was on the right side of the terror of God, and his enemies was on the wrong side. Amen. They journeyed, and the terror of the Lord was upon the cities which were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Why? Because they're scared to death. All right, I repeat this morning, the unpreached message of the ages is God is the author of death. I read to you where he's got the keys. He's the one's got the keys. Hell and death. God is the author of judgment. And he's the one that's going to rap the gavel. Pronounce guilty or not guilty. God is the author of eternal hell. God is the author of everlasting punishment. That, my friends, this morning is the other side of God. The unpreached side of God. All we hear today over the media is, God loves you. God's a God of love. Don't forget, God loves you. To a point. To a point, He does. But you can go too far. And because, amen, somebody's bold enough once in a while to declare this divine truth, somebody says, I wouldn't serve a God like that. Oh, yes, you will. You don't have any choice. Amen. Because the Bible said every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Yes, you'll serve Him one way or the other. Amen. On the good side or the bad side. I wouldn't serve a God like that. Your presumption is laughable. The Bible even says that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I'll mock, he said, when your fear cometh. Amen. When your desolation comes like a whirlwind, I'll laugh. Amen. See there? I told you so. And God will have the last laugh. Amen. We have no other choice but to serve a God like that. We better do it quick. We better get on the right side of God, because pretty soon we're going to stand before the judgment. Amen. You'll soon face Him. Amen. You'll either serve Him or you'll be judged by Him. Amen. What will the modern hypocrites do with the terror of the Lord? That's where we get the word actor. In the Greek word, hypocrite is an actor. Amen. I drove down to Everett, Kentucky Friday and I drove around just to see the country. Never been in that part of the country before. And over in front of the IGA, they have an IGA store in Everett. Amen. And sort of a little dirty park over across the road in front of it. And some folks, gospel singers, I presume, amen, since they were singing gospel songs, had an old bus over there and had some a loud speaking outfit out there, and they were singing, and singing pretty good. I mean, boy, them good singers, a lot of them come right out of the mountains, you know. Amen. So I walked over to get a closer look, and I noticed I was hearing things on the loudspeaker that wasn't spread out there. There wasn't nobody playing a steel guitar. There wasn't nobody playing an electric guitar. Amen. They had a bass and a synthesizer or a chord organ of a deal there. Amen. And I noticed they were singing, but there was music in there that I didn't see. Amen. And pretty soon I decided they were not singing at all. They were just moving their mouths as they played the soundtrack. Amen. Amen. They were acting. They were pantomiming. Because the soundtrack was so much better than a lot of times we can produce. Amen. In reality, and they get all those musicians together and keep them together for one whole song. Amen. They were play actors. Amen. Amen. What are the modern play actors in church, the modern hypocrites that are going through the motions, playing with the sacred things of God, the modern proselyters who encompass heaven and earth only to make converts just like themselves? Jesus said, you encompass heaven and earth to make one proselyte. And after you've made him,
he's twofold more a child of hell than he was before. Amen. He was proselyted. Amen. It's going to pay to be real, folks. I was preaching for the folks at Dale, Illinois. I really didn't want to stay at Dale, but some of the folks wanted me to stay at Dale. I didn't want to leave the evangelistic field. Amen. I was enjoying being on the evangelistic field. Amen. But when I pulled out of the yard at Dale, after I had held a meeting, which was a trial of sorts for them to see whether they wanted me for pastor, and I didn't want to stay at Dale. Amen. But I felt like crying when I pulled out of the yard. A sad, lonesome feeling of sympathy for the church came over me. Amen. I went on down to Smithland, held a revival, preached a little down in Kentucky. Amen. And came back to pastor for 2 years at Dale, Illinois. In the midst of that time of decision for they and myself, I overheard Sister Irvin talking to George Obe, one of the elders of the church. George Obe Irvin. Amen. And she said, I just happened to hear it, just happened to listen out of the side of my head, you know, and I heard her. She was campaigning for me. They was wanting me for pastor. And she said, he's sincere. He's sincere. Well, I didn't think much about it at the time, but now I know she couldn't have paid me a greater compliment than to have said, he's sincere. Amen. Sincere. Why? Because at the age of 15, I knew the terror of the Lord. I was a worldly Christian. I decided that I could have the best of both worlds. I could play on a little league team on Sunday and miss church. Amen. I could go to the theater on Saturday, and I could go to the pool hall and the bowling alley and the skating rink. Amen. And read all kinds. I could read a stack of comic books a foot high in one day's time and trade them to a friend for another stack. Amen. But in the midst of all my worldliness and in the midst of all my carnality, God drew the line. An unseen line on my path. And I bumped against that line so many times that it seemed like every cloud was chasing me. Oh, I was just being a boy. I was just being a young person. I was just going over Fool's Hill. And I bumped against the line so many times that I strained the line. And with one foot hanging over, amen, and feeling like it was too late for me, I began to pray. And I said, oh God, let me feel your presence. I went so far that I couldn't feel his presence. I said, God, I'll do anything. The Spirit of God separated from me. The judgments of God were upon me as a very young kid. Amen. A kid that was going over Fool's Hill. A kid that was just being a boy. A poor kid that just wanted to have fun. But God said, you don't have enough time to waste it in the world. And he drew the line on me. But it was almost too late. Amen. I had one foot dangling over hell. I told my family, I can't never get saved as I held on for dear life. I can't never get back. It's too late for me. On my knees, I cried, oh God, let me feel your presence one more time. I'll give it all up. J.D. said, we'd went to church together ever since we got saved. And he said, just play this one last game with us. And we'll wind up the season. I said, no, I'll not be there. Well, he said, I'll see you down at the show Saturday. I said, no, he won't. Because I'll not be there. I made my vows to God. Amen. And I finally felt His presence one more time. When I thought it was too late for me, one foot hanging in hell, crying out to God, trying to run it off, avoid the issue, sliding down. I told my whole family, it's too late for me. I can't never be saved. I've sinned away the day of grace. I can't never get back to God. I'm not telling you no fairy tale. I'm telling you what happened to me. Ask my brother when he was backslid. Sister Rosie was talking to him about getting back to God. And he said, I know it. I sure don't want to happen to me what happened to Junior. He remembered what I told him. Amen. I came to you having felt the terror of the Lord. I can tell you that if there's no fire in hell to be cut off, to slide into the bleak blackness of eternity separated from God, is the worst thing that can happen to a dog, much less a human being. No, you can't get by. Even if your church says you can get by, you can't get by. Even if your preacher says you can sin a little every day, you can't do it. Amen. Even if the gospel is a milquetoast gospel in your church, you're still going to tremble before God. Amen. Listen to it. This is a holy man. This is a godly man. This is a man in the Spirit. And now at last, it seems like it's happening. He has saw him. His feet's like brass. His feet's like fire. His eyes are like fire. His hairs are white like wool, white as snow. Great God, there's a sword coming out of his mouth. That's his word. Amen. In his right hand there's seven stars. That's his preachers. Amen. His countenance was as a sun shining in its strength. That's his glory. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Come on, you compromising papas that tell your family and your sweet little girl that they can do wrong and get by. Oh, yes. Amen. You got two gospels, one for you and one for the kids. There ain't no such thing. Amen. We got two gospels in the church, one for you. Hey, what I told you just a while ago is a true story. I've got one living witness. Mom's dead. Dad's dead, but Carl's still living. He saw it. And he said, I don't want it to happen to me. I was 15 years old. All kids will be kids. Oh, boys will be boys. I want to tell you, amen. Years ago, Pat Boone sung a song, we all have fears 'twixt 12 and 20. You know what that is? That's conviction. That's God dealing with people very early. At 12 years old, Jesus said, don't you know, wist you not, that I must be about my Father's business? It was heavy upon him, hard upon him at the age of 12. Listen to me tonight. He deals with you very early. And pardon me for saying so, but many times folks are cut off very early. How early can God cut off a kid? How early can God cut off a young person? He even cut one off before he was ever born. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He knew more about nature. He knew more about thoughts and decisions. He knew more about Esau before he was born than he knew about himself. Yeah, how early Can God cut off somebody? Very early. Very early. I was 15. I was a young person. I was still going to church. I was still singing in the choir and singing specials. I was still saying do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do in the singing schools and learning new songs. Amen. I was still going to the parties. After God dealt with me, I never went back to no more country play parties. Amen. Where the sinners resorted and where all kinds of things were done. Amen. Never went back to no more play parties. Amen. And children, I can't go back. I can't be like, couldn't be like the other kids. When I was 16 years old, I started preaching. I couldn't be like the other kids. When I was 17 years old, I started pastoring a church. I couldn't be like the other kids. God said, I want your life, and He wants yours. Amen. I'm talking about the forgotten message. The message of the terror of the Lord. Amen. You'll not hear this over the radio. You'll not hear this over the TV. They'll not be selling any tapes probably or videos depicting the terror of the Lord. Amen. We don't talk about the terror of the Lord. No, we don't want to put God in a bad light in the eyes of the sinner. We want Him to look good and look wonderful, look lovely. Because the sinner says and the atheist says and the unbeliever says, I wouldn't serve a God like that. Even some people in the church say, I wouldn't serve a God like that. Amen. But Paul said, I know the terror of the Lord. I've seen it. John fell at His feet like a dead man. And Jesus had to pick him up. Daniel fell like a dead man. Other prophets fell like dead men before God. Even before angels, they fell like dead men. Amen. The terror of the Lord's what did it. What made them faint? What made them sick? It was the terror of the Lord. Amen. And sin will not pass that tribunal. Sin and rebellion against God will not pass the test of that judgment this morning. Father, bless, O Lord God, this message, Lord, and help it, Lord God, to have its desired effect on every life. Let us go out with the motivation that we need to witness, Lord. Let us be bold and witness for God. And let us, Lord, above all, see in a measure the terror of the Lord, that we might convince men to escape it and get on God's right side. Get on God's good side where God will fight for us instead of against us. Have mercy upon us and forgive our sin. Forgive our failures. Forgive our pride. Forgive our presumption. Cleanse us, Lord, from every spot and wrinkle. Oh, Lord, forgive us, Lord God, of unbelief. And enrich our faith this morning. And anoint us to serve You better. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sing, Sister Bessie, and pass the pan for home mission offering. Praise God.